Amen. As I said to you a little while ago, I want to share with you this morning three things which I believe we all need as we go into a new year. Now, if you've been or if you've been catching up, or you've been in the Bible studies over the last few months on a Wednesday evening, you'll know that I've spent a lot of time teaching on waiting on the Lord and hearing from God and these things, and you can avail yourselves of the materials. They're available online. And I just want to just develop something along those lines this morning. And again, I'm going to go back. I was waiting on the Lord this week about what to share. And, you know, the Lord took me back to a scripture which I preached on just about 2 or 3 months ago. And the Lord was showing me something different from it. From the second book of Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, you may recall, it was about two months ago I preached on this passage of scripture. Elisha and Elijah, as they went down, this was just before Elijah was taken up into heaven. And if you remember, you know, Elisha and Elijah went from town to town, from city to city, and at each place Elijah says to Elisha, he says, I want you to stay here because the Lord has sent me on. And you may remember that each time, on each occasion, Elijah says, no, my Lord, he says, you know, as the Lord lives, he says, I'm going to go on with you. I'm not going to stay in that city or that place. I'm going on with you. And I want to go back. You know, we took some time a few months ago going through these cities and looking at the significance of these cities. And I just want to go back over those this morning from a different viewpoint. Something fresh that the Lord has shown me as I was studying this and looking at it. And it starts off in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1. It says, it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now here we have Elijah and Elisha coming to this city called Gilgal. Now this name, the name Gilgal, means the rolling away, or to roll away. And it was here at Gilgal that the reproach of Egypt was finally rolled away from the people of God. Do you know what had happened? They'd come up out of Egypt, and they'd spent many years walking in the wilderness, and eventually they came to the place where they crossed over the Jordan River under the leadership of Joshua to go into the promised land. And Gilgal was the place of where they first came to. This was their first point of contact in the promised land. And the scriptures say that God rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Now what does that mean? Well, what actually happened, if you study through the life of the people of God, you'll see that under the leadership of Moses, they came out of Egypt. They came, they spent all that time, 40 years or so, wandering in the wilderness under Moses' leadership. And during that time, yes, they were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. And we're very often like that. I just want to go back. You know, we think back, oh, you know, this happened last year. This happened. This. God wants us to come out of Egypt, and he wants Egypt to come out of us. And it was at Gilgal where God finally, or Egypt finally got out of the people of God. Now let's just listen to some of their complaints. This is during their wilderness years. And well, actually, the first one is that they'd only been out of Egypt a couple of days. This is Exodus chapter 14, verse 12. You know, they're on the shores of the Red Sea. You know what happened when they came out of Egypt? Their first obstacle was the Red Sea. They had to cross the Red Sea. And the people of God said this, says, "Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." It was better back then. It was better in Egypt. We would have been better off in bondage, better off serving the Egyptians than for you just to leave us to die here in the wilderness. A little while later, in Exodus 16, we read these words. The children of Israel complain, says, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt. When we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full." He says, "And you brought us out here into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." You know, they're complaining about having no food, having nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And they said, "Oh, we had plenty in Egypt. We could eat to the full and be satisfied. But you brought us out here and you're going to kill us with hunger." In Numbers 11, they again complained. Numbers 11 verse 4 says these words. It says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat?'" They're still looking for food. Here comes their Egypt mentality. "We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." You know, God had miraculously provided them something to eat, the manna from heaven. And yet, they were craving Egypt. They were craving the vegetables and the fish. They were craving the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions. And they list them in those verses. And a little while later, still complaining about this manna that came from heaven. Fast forward into Numbers 21. You find, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, there's no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." What a complaint to make. What God has provided, they called worthless. You know, they were looking back to Egypt all the time. Now, as I said just a moment ago, Gilgal was their entry point into the promised land. Remember this promised land, how God described it to Moses and to Joshua. He told them it would be a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land where they'd eat bread without scarcity. It would be a land of provision, a land of abundance, a land of blessing. And this was their first point of contact with that land, Gilgal. A place of new beginnings and fresh starts. How many of us would like a new beginning and a fresh start this year? You know, we know we've made mistakes last year, and you know, I've always get before God at this and just thank Him for where He's brought us, what He's brought us through in the year, and thank you for this fresh start that we have, this new beginning. And it was here at Gilgal that the love affair with Egypt came to an end. God rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Now, we can't change what's happened in the last 12 months. But we can repent of our failings. We can start again. God has given us a brand new year to walk with Him. Now, there's three important things we need to do, and I will be quick this morning. I won't keep you. That's one of the things that Jane muttered to me just as I left is, you won't be late. She's watching. There are three important things we need to do at the start of this new year. Number one, we need to seek God. We've got to seek God. Number two, we need to hear from God. And number three, we've got to go forward and advance and go on with Him. So three simple things we need to do this year if we're going to have the blessing of God on our lives. Now there are other things. This is not an exhaustive list. This is the three things the Lord has instructed me from this passage. Seek Him, hear from Him, and go on with Him. Now, remember what Elisha said to Elijah. He says, as my soul lives, and as your soul, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I'm going on with you. Okay? And they went down to Bethel. Because that's, they went on. We've got to go on. And now at Bethel, Elijah says the same thing. He says, stay here please, because the Lord sent me on to Jericho. And Elisha, as we know, he says the same thing. He says, look, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going on. I'm going with you. Now, what happened at Bethel? Well, the name Bethel means house of God. Now, Bethel was the place of visitation. And it was the place of God's presence. Here at Bethel, God appeared to Jacob. And we have his statement in Genesis 28, where Jacob was asleep and he saw the ladder going up into heaven, he saw the angels of God going up and down this ladder. And he awoke from his sleep. In Genesis 28 verse 16, it says this, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. Surely the Lord is in this place. So he appeared to Jacob. Previously, he appeared to Abraham in the same place. And we find that Bethel is a place of seeking God and meeting with Him. It's the place where we can get alone with God and fellowship with Him. Now, a few years ago, and I've relayed this story to you before. A few years ago, I was watching TV. It was in the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, you know, that week, which I heard on the TV this year, and I've never heard it before. Somebody described it as the Crimbo Limbo. I don't know if you've heard that. It's a new phrase. That period of time where you don't do anything, you know, because the offices and workplaces, a lot of them are on holiday and shut down, and you can't really do anything in between that time because you're too fat and too full because you've eaten too much, and you just want to lie out on the chair and chill and watch that limbo zone. And I was in that limbo zone between these two feasts. And God spoke to me and he called my name. He said, Peter. Now, I was watching a film. I wasn't even thinking about the Lord. I'll be honest. You know, God wasn't on my mind. I was engrossed in the movie that was on the TV. And I heard my voice, Peter. And I knew the voice. I knew that immediately was the Spirit of God speaking to me. So I said, yes. He says, come and spend some time with me. Just come and spend some time with me. Get along with me. So I left the film, went up into my bedroom. You know, it was in the UK in those days. And prayed. And you know, God began to open up the word to me. And actually, it was that particular evening, really, from that evening, that God began to bring me into the teaching ministry that I have today. Because I made a promise to the Lord on that night that whatever He would show me and reveal to me from His Word, I would proclaim it and declare it to anybody that would listen. And I've been doing that ever since. that it's a place. Bethel was the place where you can get along with God and seek Him. Now, seeking God, as we've been hearing over the last few weeks in our Bible studies, it's good. And it's beneficial for us. It's not, as I said and I taught again last year, it's not some passive activity that we do, where we actually sit down and do nothing. Well, I'm waiting for God, I'm seeking God, and now just waiting, doing nothing. No, that's not what waiting on God is. That's not what seeking Him is about. It means we've got to, when we come before God, we come to Bethel, we've got to go on. Go forward. It's not just about seeking Him as we're going to see. We've got to go down to Jericho, the place of hearing from God. So let's move on, because Elisha and Elijah did. They went down to Jericho. And Elijah says the same thing to Elisha. He says, Elisha, he says, I want you to stay here in Jericho because the Lord is leading me on to the Jordan. And he said, no, he says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And they came down to Jericho. Now, Jericho means the place of fragrance. It was a city of palm trees. We read that in the scriptures in Deuteronomy. An oasis in a barren landscape. You know, actually, the Jordan Valley is lush and green. A little bit like the Nile Valley. You know, in the midst of barrenness, there's this beautiful green valley, which is fed by the waters. You know, and at Jericho, a little bit later, we're not going to read it this morning, but a little bit later on in this chapter, in chapter 2 of 2 Kings, we read that there was a spring at Jericho, because Elisha, after Elijah had been taken into heaven, he came back, and he came to this spring. And that spring's still there today. He came to this spring, and there was this source of water. And there was a problem with the water supply at this spring in Jericho. It was bitter. It was bad. And Elisha took a bowl of salt. And he threw this into the water. And the waters were healed. The waters became drinkable. And the scripture says in verse 22, it says that the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. So Jericho is the place of hearing from God. You know, hearing the word of God. You know, God's word is like that fresh water which nourishes, which refreshes us. It renews us and strengthens us and revives us. Again, another illustration from my past. 12 years ago. 12 years ago, yes. 2005, October the 22nd, I can give you the date. October the 22nd, 2005, it was the day my mum went home to be with the Lord. You know, some of you here, you knew her. You know, that morning, we'd spent the night with her in the hospital. My brothers and sisters hadn't, neither my father, but I was the only one with my eyes open at the time. I'd seen the Lord come for her. You know, the hospital, the bed around her lit up. You know, as she got to that final, just before her breath passed from her, you know, her face lit up like a light bulb. The way she was in pain and suffering, you know, almost instantaneously you could see the pain had gone. And the Lord came for her. And she went home to be with the Lord. But that still left the hurt, you know, and the grief. And I went home from the hospital. I went home from spending the day with my brothers and sisters and the family. We'd just been talking about her, talking about the experience. You know, where do we go from here? Because, you know, she was everything to us. And I got home completely drained and completely... And I went... I don't even know whether I spoke to Jane. I just went into the house, went up into my bedroom, and next to my bed was my Bible. And I picked up my Bible and began to read. I began to listen to God as I read the word, and strength came back. You know, my strength was renewed. You know, like it says in the scriptures, that promise, you know, this youth shall be renewed like the eagle. My strength came back to me. And I don't know if it was me or my father, I prepared the best, because the next morning, within hours, we was running church. We had church. We didn't cancel church. You know, I don't know if I preached. If I didn't preach, I led the service. And my father preached, or whichever way around, because we shared it. But we went on, and everybody in the church was amazed. Now, how could we go on in such situations? Why? Because of the strength of God, which came for me from reading the Word of God that evening. I wouldn't have been able to go to the service the next morning without that strength. Now, the person who delights in hearing God's Word like that is like a tree that feeds upon the waters. That's why, talking about the water here, Psalm 1 says this. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." But listen, it says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in the Word of God, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, feeding on the Word of God. Now, our life, if we're feeding on the Word of God, our life cannot be anything else other than blessed by God. If we're feeding on it. You know, I've been in the position, you know, as a pastor in the UK, I've had people come to me, and they begin to pour out their burdens. And you ask a simple question. Well, what does, you know, have you been listening to the Word of God? You know, what's God been saying? Well, I've not been. I know you've not been, because you won't be in this mess if you had been. You know, a lot of our problems would disappear if we just got into the Word of God and found out what God says on a matter, on a situation. We won't make mistakes. We'll be led by the Spirit of God. You know, the Word says this in the New Testament. Paul writes these words, talking about the church of Jesus Christ. He says that God is preparing you and me the Lord is presenting us, he's cleaning us, he's cleansing us, so that he might present us to himself a glorious body. And how is he cleansing us? He's cleansing us with the washing of water by the Word of God. The Word of God straightens us out. God, that's the way God corrects us. God chastises us by his Word. He doesn't use anything else other than what he says. That's why we need to hear the Word of God. So Jericho is the place of listening to God. We've got to seek God in Bethel. We've got to hear God in Jericho. But we've got to go on to Jordan. And Jordan is the place of descent. It's the place of crossing over, the place of going forward. It's where Joshua and the people of God, it was their final barrier, really, before they got into the promised land, the Jordan. It was the crossing point for them. And what we read in Joshua chapter 3 is that the waters parted and they crossed over on dry ground. But I want you to listen to these words. I'll quickly read this scripture for you. Because these three important steps are all here. Joshua 3 verse 9. Because I see my time is going. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." So then there's hearing. And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan." There's the presence of God. The Ark is with them. God is with them. They can seek God. You know, the Ark was the meeting place with God. So we have hearing, we have seeking. "Now therefore, He says, verse 12, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand up as a heap. And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, a city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, that's the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. You know, something that's amazing about this, you know, the water of the Jordan did not part for the people of God until they started to go forward. You know, they had to get their feet wet before they saw the miracle of the parting of the river. So they heard from God in verse 9. Faith comes by hearing God's word. We can stand firm on it. Number 2, they knew God's presence. They sought him. The Ark of the Covenant was amongst them, the meeting place with God. He dwelt with them. And there was a promise attached there that he would go before them and drive out all their enemies. Then number 3, they went forward. They crossed over. They prepared to move. And you've got to be prepared to go this year. I don't mean leave. I mean, go on with God. Even if it means you've got to get your feet wet. You may not see the next step, but you've just got to go by faith like Abraham did. And what actually happened, as they started to move, the river backed up. Now, just think about this. This river backed up for about 30 miles in order for them all to get across on dry ground. You know, because we get the point where it stopped upstream down to the Dead Sea. Here's an important thing in finishing. Don't wait for the conditions to be perfect before you move. It may not be quiet. You may not think, well, it's not right time. Just go with God. Do what God says. You've sought God. You've been in his presence. You've heard what he has to say. Now do what he's telling you to do. Don't live in and long for the past like these people did. Where they was, oh, it's better off in Egypt. Better off last year. Oh, it's better off without these problems and that. Whether it's blessing or regret, fulfillment or failure, seek him, hear from him, and go forward with him into this year. Remember what we read from the Apostle Paul a little while ago. Forget those things that are behind. Forget Egypt. Forget the wilderness. Reach forward and press on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.